Welcome to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Abbotville Church of Christ. Your speaker is E.R. Hall, Jr.
Good morning. Welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate so much you tuning in, and we hope that you'll listen for the duration of the program, for it is our purpose to speak only those things that are found in God's holy and inspired Word. If at any time you have a question or a comment concerning something that we say on the program, or maybe you have a Bible question, a Bible subject you'd like for us to spend time and study it on the program, certainly we'd love to hear from you, and you can contact us at the address given by the announcer, or better yet, contact me by email. My address is preacher@eastabbotville.org. This being Sunday, we want to remind you that we would welcome you to come and to be with us at 9:30 at the East Abbotville Church of Christ that meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Abbotville, Alabama. We have Bible study at 9:30 for class and classes for all ages. We urge you to come. Bring your family, bring your Bible, and study God's Word with us. We also would like for you to know that you'd be cordially invited to come at 10:30. For the worship period. Again, bring along your Bibles and study the things that are said and done and compare that with what the Scriptures teach. We'll also be doing the same this evening at 5 o'clock, and also we have Bible study on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. We urge you to come and to be with us. You'd be an honored guest. If it's at all impossible for you to come and be at the building at these times of 9:30, 5 and 7 on Wednesday, log on to eastabbotville.org/live, and you can both see and hear whether it's the Bible studies or the worship periods. Certainly, if you have Facebook, the church has a Facebook page, and if you have familiar with YouTube, the church has a YouTube channel. So keep these things in mind if you're completely incapable of being able to come to the building. One other thing, tonight at 8 o'clock on this radio station, WBSA, Patrick Donahue conducts Bible Crossfire. This is a 30-minute live call-in radio program. The program begins by Pat giving you his phone number. You can dial that number if you have a Bible question, speak directly to him, and give him your Bible question, and in return, expect a Bible answer. If you're incapable of being in the range of WBSA at that time and have satellite radio capability, then at 8 o'clock, turn your satellite radio to channel 131 on Sirius XM, and you can hear the radio program by Brother Donahue. Keep all of these things in mind today. You know, Christianity as we know it is rapidly ending. For most of this nation's history, the civil laws that we have, as well as society's moral expectations, have been largely influenced by the Bible. While the U.S. Constitution did not authorize a state church, the majority of the founding fathers were Protestants, or at least deists, who shared a very high view of the Bible, of the Scriptures. The Bible itself was a textbook in the educational system throughout the 19th century. Most citizens went to some kind of church on Sunday, and they had a basic knowledge of the Bible, and the culture itself operated from a Judeo-Christian outlook. In that environment, it was nearly free to be a Christian. It didn't cost much. One could believe and preach and follow the Bible and still get along easily with the society. That is the Christianity that we've known. While Christians were the light of the world, it seems like the world was dusk as opposed to dark. It's gotten dark. This country no longer shares a biblical background. The light shines much brighter against such darkness, but a society that loves darkness hates light. Jesus said that in John chapter 3, verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. The Supreme Court has issued a constitutional right to same-sex marriage. Until now, states had defined marriages for themselves. But interestingly, there has been over 100 friend of the court briefs filed for just this case. One brief named 379 employers on behalf of a same-sex marriage. Silicon Valley companies were represented, along with major retailers, banks, airlines, and blue-chip corporations like DuPont or Pepsi or Procter & Gamble or Dow Chemical. In fact, even Wall Street has weighed in favor of same-sex marriage. But you know, regardless of the High Court's decision, the 37 states that currently have same-sex marriages will not be impacted. And then there's Hollywood. There's the media. There is big business, and there is many state legislators are being persuaded that homosexuality is a civil right issue. To challenge the morality of this behavior, it's parallel to challenging someone's humanity. This is not true. This is absolutely illogical, but it's popularly understood this way because over the past 20 or 30 years, social conservatives have lost the battle against a gay program that is bent on an unabashed propaganda. And yet, same-sex marriage is just the current sin. In recent years, various states have been legalizing prostitution, gambling, and marijuana. Abortion is about a woman's choice and not a child's choice. Public schools face lawsuits over invocations at graduation or even at football games. Behavior that could only be described as brazen a year ago is now being lauded as brave. And when I think of that, I think of Bruce Jenner being labeled as the bravest man in the country. Back in April of 1976, this Olympic gold medalist sat down with Diane Sawyer for a 2020 interview, and he detailed his personal turmoil, his ongoing procedure to become a woman. He is the new face of the transgender movement that we're seeing underway. The day after the interview aired, Jenner was hailed across the country as brave. You see, all of this shows that preaching the Bible and professing Christianity is no longer going to be free, and it's no longer going to be easy. Rather, costly Christianity will replace what we've known. The kind of Christianity that Jesus spoke about is costly. In Matthew 5, verses 11 and 12, Jesus said, "Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets that were before you." God only sent a prophet when the society had gotten sort of to the point where they had forsook him and forgotten him. Likewise, Christians are light in a world that loves darkness, and they are salt to a society that absolutely abhors a savior. You know, the hour has come for bravery in a brazen society. And it's in this respect that 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 deserves a tremendous amount of thought and consideration in what it says. The first Christians that received this inspired letter knew that their faith was costly. In fact, their faith had even reached the point of being criminal. I want us to notice in these verses five absolute things for which Christians must understand in regards to persecution. Christians must act in a love toward a world that will hate them for it. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Let's look at that first word. Watch. You know, the necessary vision to act is love. Many scriptures encourage Christians to be vigilant. For example, Matthew chapter 26, verse 41. Jesus said, "Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Another passage we can look at is found in 1 Thessalonians. There, in the 5th chapter, reading verse 6, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." And then I'm sure we remember what Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, when he said, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour." See, awareness is essential so that we may be able to even do things like pray appropriately. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplication, prayer, intercession, and the giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence." In the book of Colossians, in chapter 4, beginning our reading with verse 2, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak." And then there's a verse in Acts 4. In that passage, let's read verses 23, beginning with verse 23. We see that being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. This is Peter and John when they were arrested by the council for having healed the lame man. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God, who have made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, 'Why do the nations rage and the people plot vain things?' the kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. So we see then that here we need to speak relatively to the culture in which we live. It's an act already of Colossians. In the fourth chapter, we read verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer everyone. See, bravery is needed to maintain contact with the society when all that one wants to do is escape its brazen ways. The other part of that verse in 1 Corinthians that we read was stand fast in the faith. See, the necessary direction to act in love. God's word is truth. We know that from John 17:17. Jesus said to the Father in prayer, sanctify them, that is his disciples. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. And then the proverb writer tells us there in the book of Proverbs, the 23rd chapter. Notice what we read in verse 23. He says, buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding. But you know, sadly, there is a lot of scripture twisting going on today. Those that advocate same-sex marriage have been preaching that the golden rule needs to be applied, the one in Matthew 7 and verse 12, and that the greatest commandment is to be followed, like in Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40, which is to love your neighbor as yourself. And they dictate Christian endorsement of their cause. And furthermore, they quote Matthew 7 and verse 1, judge not, lest you be judged. That's been twisted to mean that the only sin is to preach against sin. But friends, perseverance, which is what standing fast in the faith has to do with, is required to hold to the clear teaching of the Bible when so many confuse its meaning. Christians do love their neighbors. The Christians do love sinners, just as Jesus did, but sin is still sin. The faith that is being talked about, stand fast in the faith. The faith defines righteousness and wickedness. Even Jesus' love does not turn sin into righteousness. He died to pay for sins and to forgive sins, but not to redefine sin so that all may continue in it. Then the other part of that passage in 1 Corinthians says, be brave. The necessary attitude that we have to have in order to act in love. The Greek text says, act like a man. I think the King James says, quit you like men. But it's the idea to be manly. The New King James, I think, captures the intent when it renders be brave. Bravery is essential for Christians who will be opposed. Costly Christianity, friends, is frightening. When society shifts, as it has, Christians fear being boycotted, they fear being ostracized, they fear being marginalized for their convictions. Christians fear being labeled as unloving, uncaring, or even ignorant because they repeat what the Bible teaches. Some Christians fear being wrong on this controversial subject of the day. They wonder, well, what if homosexual behavior is like the color of a person's skin? What if some folks are born attracted to the same sex? Should Christians warn people they might be lost for doing things they feel deeply inclined, even driven, to do? Could God send people to hell for doing what they genuinely want to do and behaving in ways that they feel satisfied in doing them. Or what if a person has yearned to do something all of their life, or they just act out in the heat of the moment? Will God hold them accountable? See, this is the reality of all temptation and sin, is it not? Homosexual acts are not a special case. Everyone has done things against God's word because they find sin to be enticing. That's why Romans 3 and verse 23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's like what James talks about. In James chapter 1, notice here as we begin reading with verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has prepared to those that love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. See, the desire is a given. At issue is what the scripture says. Is that desired behavior right or wrong? When we do what the Bible says is wrong, that is sin. 1 John, turn with me and look. 1 John chapter 3, look at the 4th verse. Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Yes, we need to be brave. Christians are not misreading the Bible on homosexuality, my friends. It's clearly opposed. It's clearly condemned in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 9 through 11. Let's go there and let's read those verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. If anything, they forget that there are many kinds of sexual immorality that's condemned in the Bible, and people feel strongly inclined to commit all of it. Yet, Christians bravely promote and they exemplify godly marriages, and they stand equally opposed to all illicit sexual sins. But it says to be strong in that passage in 1 Corinthians. The necessary fuel to act in love is what being strong is all about. Christians need strength to continue obeying God and paying the price of costly Christianity. God is the source of this strength. The scriptures, prayer, our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, all of these are various channels that the Lord uses to encourage and to strengthen his people. It takes strength to act in love toward people that are reviling you. It takes strength to control your tongue and your speech. And after a long day, it takes strength to get up and do it all over again. That's why strength is the fuel to act in love. And then that last part of the verse, we're to act in love. Practicing costly Christianity, act in love, regardless of the sin. Christians can act in love towards all sinners for the sake of their souls. If saints do not express love for homosexual neighbors, then Christians need to repent. All sinners are people made in the image of God. And while we may differ with them and fear for their souls, Jesus loves them, and he died to redeem them. Likewise, if Christians cannot use wholesome speech when discussing these issues, they need to repent. It's one thing if the government labels the Bible as hate speech, but it's quite another if Christians are speaking hatefully about their fellow man. See, slurs are not the communication of a Christian. We're to speak the truth in love. Love moves Christians to suffer reviling, to suffer slander. We love Jesus and we want to be like him. He suffered because he loved the Father and he loved sinners like us. Yes, it's becoming more costly to practice being a Christian in our culture. Let us act bravely in love toward a brazen society. And remember that verse that we started our study with, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. As the time draws to an end, again, let me remind you of the services of the East Albertville Church of Christ this Sunday morning, starting in just a half hour after this program goes off the air. At 9:30, we'll have Bible study, classes for all ages. At 10 o'clock, we will come together to worship God and to do those things that he has commanded us to do in his word upon the first day of the week. Tonight at 5 o'clock, we will again assemble. And on Wednesday night, we will come together at 7 o'clock. We urge you to come, to bring your Bibles, to bring your families, and study with us. And again, if you're incapable of being able to come to the building, at those times, log on to eastalbertville.org/live. And you can both see and hear the Bible study, the worship periods. And if you have Facebook, the church has a Facebook page. And if you are familiar with YouTube, the church has a YouTube channel. Keep all of these things in mind, as well as the Bible Crossfire radio program on this station tonight at 8 o'clock. And if you can't pick it up, satellite radio, if you have that capability, turn it to channel 131. And you can hear Pat Donahue give Bible answers to Bible questions that, if you would like, you can call to the number that he gives you and ask him that Bible question. We appreciate so much your listening. We hope that you'll tune in tomorrow. And it's till then that we bid you a pleasant good day. And now we return you to our announcer.
Thank you for listening to What the Bible Says, a daily broadcast from the East Albertville Church of Christ, which meets at 4777 U.S. Highway 431 in Albertville, Alabama. This broadcast airs locally on WBSA 1300 AM and Gospel 93.5 FM. Broadcast times are Monday through Saturday at 11:15 AM and Sunday at 8:30 AM. We invite you to worship with us anytime. We meet on Sundays at 9:30 AM for a Bible study, which is followed by a worship service at 10:30. We meet again for another worship service at 5 o'clock p.m. On Wednesdays, we meet for a Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m., which is followed by a short worship service. Please visit our website at eastalbertville.org, where you will be able to listen to all of our services live. You will also have access to our vast audio library of sermons, debates, and every episode of this program. You will also find many articles on various Bible topics. There is a link to submit any Bible question you may have, and while you are there, please subscribe to our bi-monthly email bulletin. Join us again tomorrow for What the Bible Says.